Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here as we gather for worship today. Send a special welcome to those who are visiting. If it's your first time here, we send a special welcome to you and an extra special welcome. And please, you know, let us know if it is your first time at the end of the service. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship right next door in the kitchen. And you'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week. I do want to just point out and highlight a few things that there is going to be an Ash Wednesday service here this coming Wednesday. It is Ash Wednesday at 12 o'clock, and there'll be a light lunch provided immediately afterwards. And you'll note that next Saturday at 11 in the morning, we will be having a memorial service for Keith Berry, who was the youngest brother of Lana and Dorothy, and Edith is here today as well, their youngest brother. And so that will be 11 here in the sanctuary. And the next Sunday, somebody that didn't make the calendar, but the deacons will be meeting after the worship service for their regular monthly meeting. And then there will be a memorial service for Caroline Landers next Sunday afternoon at 3 in the sanctuary. Caroline passed away this past week. You'll also notice the challenge for the American Baptist Women's Ministries, the White Cross Challenge. And Irene just told me 265? 285. The challenge was 225, and we surpassed the challenge goal of 285. But thank you very much. But we will accept any other gifts that you'd like to give towards that. That is going to support the Myers in Bulgaria and their mission work there. There is information on the pink sheet, more about their ministry, and there is an envelope there if you would like to give a gift. A couple other announcements. This coming Friday from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Church of the Incarnation in Melrose, the Church Women United of Malden, Medford, Melrose will be having their World Day of Prayer. And the program, the materials were written by women of the Philippines, and the program is open for both men and women from 1 to 3 at the First Church of the Incarnation this coming Friday afternoon. Also, I want to let the congregation know that we are beginning negotiations with a prospective tenant for the first floor of the parish house. And in that light, following up from our annual business meeting, I have tentatively scheduled an informational meeting for the congregation for 2 weeks from today, Sunday, March 12th, after the worship service. At that time, presuming that the negotiations are going well, we will be announcing who that prospective tenant is and details about the lease and answer any questions, hopefully, that you may have. Or if you have something that we can't answer, we'll know that we need to go back and do some homework. But that will be 2 weeks from today, March 12th, after the worship service, for an informational meeting for the congregation. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 118 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading verses from the Apostle Paul as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. So let us read responsively from God's holy word. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight.
In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ.
In him we have redemption through his blood.
The forgiveness of sins in accordance with God's grace.
Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Our opening hymn this morning is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, number 124. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. God, your love is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. We have come here today to hail his power and offer praise and thanksgiving. Give us strength to continue on our journeys, encouraged and empowered by your eternal spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. And now pray together as he taught, as we say out loud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated, and Irene Hoffman will be offering a solo at this point.
Hear my voice, I claim you as my child. celebrations and concerns as we go to prayer this morning. We want to continue to remember Paul Patry. Paul has been hospitalized this past week and was transferred to Woburn Rehab on Friday. Spoke with him yesterday, and he's doing okay. They're saying about a week, and he's hoping it's a couple days. But hopes to be home soon. And he and Linda have a new grandson. Was born in the same hospital he was in, so he was able to see his grandson. Was hoping to get up to Tewksbury soon to be able to see him at home. But Megan and the baby, I can't remember the baby's name, unfortunately, so I can't tell you that, are doing well. And they went home yesterday from the hospital. So we want to just keep the Patriot.
It's a boy.
But they knew it was a boy ahead of time. And I know Paul told me the name a couple of weeks ago, but I didn't write it down, and I didn't ask last night. So, but we do celebrate. So that's Megan and Derek's third child. And so we do celebrate with them, and just also pray for Paul and the family in general, too, some health concerns. We do want to continue to remember David Tolstrup in prayer, as David is at Glen Ridge receiving palliative care. Some of us that were at the worship service on Tuesday did stop in and visit with David and Barbara. And I have not been up yet. I'm hoping to get there today or tomorrow. But just want to keep David and Barbara in prayer today as well. Want to keep May Upperman in prayer as she continues to be at home. And we want to keep the Barry and Cooper family in prayer as Edith and her son Helbert are here today. And there's their brother Keith, who passed away at the end of January, in the memorial service next weekend. And also we want to keep the Landers family in prayer as Caroline passed away this week after struggling with cancer for quite a while. So we want to keep both of those families in our prayers today as well. Do you have requests for prayers, either celebrations or concerns you'd like to share? Marilyn.
My friend Judy, she's gone to rehab in Reading, but who knows how long.
It was good to be able to get out of the hospital, so we want to keep Judy in prayer. And also our prayers. Joe.
Dear friend, Nancy Regano's mom's in the hospital with a viral infection.
Okay.
Prayers for her good health as she continues to move forward.
And how's your brother David? I haven't asked in a while.
He's moving forward, and he's now they're monitoring everything at this point. So
we'll keep both Nancy's mom and your brother David in prayer. We also have a prayer request today. Not then, let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. You are all-powerful, all-loving, all-forgiving. You are majestic and worthy of all of our praise and glory. Lord, as we pause this morning to converse with you, we thank you for that opportunity. We thank you that you are a God who cares about us intimately and knows us. That you are not some remote being that does not care about his creation. Lord, that you are part of us. And Lord, you love us so much that you sent your son to be among us and to ultimately die for us, paying his ultimate sacrifice. Lord, we just are so thankful for the privilege of coming here to worship you this day. We're grateful for the freedoms that we enjoy in this nation that allow us to do that allow us to study your word openly without fear of being arrested, being put in prison, being punished for our religious beliefs. And Lord, we just, as we come this day, we come in gratitude. And we ask, O God, that we now pray for in intercessory prayer. We pray for those who are ill today, those who are injured, We pray for healing in their lives according to your will for them. We also pray, O God, for those who are in mourning today, and we pray especially for the Barry Cooper family and the Landers family as they have a fresh death in their family and sensing the more urgent feelings of mourning and loss. I just pray for your Spirit, O God, to be with them and other families who are sensing that pain of separation right now. We pray that your Spirit of comfort and peace may fill those voids, that they may look with gratitude over their loved one's life, gratitude to you for the gift of their life, and also that they may have hope of being reunited with them sometime in the future. Lord, that's part of what our faith is all about. Lord, as we think of praying for others, we also pray for our nation and the leadership. And Lord, we just pray that decisions that are made may be done according to your will. We pray that our leaders may be turning to you, asking for your guidance. Lord, in those decisions that may affect us, they also may affect others around our world, O God. We do pray for our entire world this day, O God. We know that there are areas where there is warfare going on. There's areas where there is much tragedy, much suffering going on. We pray, O God, for those who are hungry today, those who do not have homes, those who do not feel safe. And Lord, that may be someplace around the world, it may be right in our own community. But we pray, O God, for those, and just pray that they may find areas where they may receive the food, the shelter, and the safety that they need. We pray especially, O God, for children that are caught up often in adult warfare and war and disagreements. We pray for the innocents, O God, this day, and lift them up to you and ask that you would bless them. Lord, as we continue in our worship, we pray that you would bless us and bless this congregation, O God, that has such a rich history. Lord, we just pray, O God, that you would bless us in our worship together. Bless us as we go our separate ways, that we will be different people by having been together today. We ask this all in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We have an opportunity now to worship God through tangible means by offering our tithes and our gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering.
Lord, surely your presence is in this place. Lord, as we have gathered together, we have prayed together and sung together, and now we offer these tithes and gifts to you. And ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the love of Jesus Christ with others. It's in his name that we ask this. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Dottie Ladder will be coming to read the scripture today.
Our scripture today is Luke 9, verses 28 through 36. About a week after he had said these things, Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up a hill to pray. While he was praying, his face changed its appearance, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men were there talking with him. They were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in heavenly glory and talked with Jesus about the way in which he would soon fulfill God's purpose by dying in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were sound asleep, but they woke up and saw Jesus' glory and the two men who were standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, how good it is that we are here. We will make these three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not really know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them with its shadow, and the disciples were afraid as the cloud came over them. A voice said from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice stopped, there was Jesus all alone. The disciples kept quiet about all this and told no one at that time anything they had seen. May the Lord bless this reading from his word.
Thank you, Dottie. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words from your holy word, how exciting it must have been for those three disciples. Lord, at times our faith becomes stagnant. At times we say, oh, I've been there, I've done that, there's nothing new. But Lord, we pray that having been together today, having worshiped you, that there may be something new and fresh that we may gain today that may help us in our daily living. We pray that you may speak to each of us the words that we need to hear today. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Most of us have probably heard the adage, a picture is worth a thousand words, meaning that so much information can be communicated through just one image. The same concept can be applied to cultural icons. The faces of well-known people can represent campaigns, organizations, or even concepts and ideas. For example, Einstein is the face of science. Martin Luther King Jr., the face of civil rights. Abraham Lincoln, freedom. Shakespeare, literature. Sigmund Freud, psychology. Beethoven, music. Tom Brady, the Patriots. David Ortiz, the Red Sox. But since his retirement, who will be the new face of the Red Sox? We could spend an hour or more compiling a list of persons for whom their face represents a category of society. But let's not spend that amount of time doing that. But let's turn to the Bible for a moment. Moses is the face of the law. And Elijah is the face of the prophets. Imagine what it would be like if some of these iconic figures from the ages and disciplines were to meet together. And how that would be and how you would say that. But this brings us to the mountaintop experience where Peter, James, and John are witnesses to a sort of encounter, divine encounter, of three biblical icons. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. Not something that probably most of us in Baptist churches follow, but in the church calendar, it is Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday before Ash Wednesday and before Lent begins. So on the mountain of the Transfiguration, we see three people. These are Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Thanks to several Hollywood movies, many of us have some, although perhaps slightly distorted, knowledge of Moses. We know that he met God in a burning bush, parted the Red Sea, and led the people through the wilderness. We may even understand how being known as the face of the law makes sense, because he is the one who received the Ten Commandments, not once, but at least twice, from God. Elijah, on the other hand, may not be as well known. He is not the author of an Old Testament book like Isaiah or Jeremiah. We read about Elijah in 1 and 2 Kings. Elijah arrived on the scene when Israel's kings compromised the faith and for political expediency. He spoke for God tirelessly, calling the people and their leaders away from worship of the pagan god Baal and back to the worship of the one true God. When God told him a drought is coming because of the people's unfaithfulness, Elijah announced it to the people. During the drought, God miraculously saved Elijah through the faithfulness of a widow. He challenged the prophets of Baal, asking them to have their God send fire down to consume their sacrifice. After a long time of trying without success, the prophets of Baal conceded defeat. And then Elijah prepared his sacrifice, which included dousing the sacrifice, the wood, and the stones with three applications of water. So much water that it overflowed into trenches around the altar. Then Elijah prayed, and God answered. Fire came down and consumed the sacrificial bull and the wood, and it turned the stones of the altar to dust and caused the water in the trenches to evaporate into a mist. No prophet in Israel had produced, at God's insistence, that kind of sound and light show. Elijah risked his life and his reputation to speak for God. He feared for his life regularly, as God's message was not always well received by the people. Twice Elijah fled out of town. Each time he seemed doomed, but God met him in a wonderful, powerful way. What Moses and Elijah have in common is they each had a very special relationship with God. For example, while Moses was leading the people through the wilderness, he had a moment of discouragement. He asked for a sign of God's power, to see God's glory. Now, the understanding at that time was that you could not see God because you would die. It was so powerful and that you would die if you saw God. But God answered Moses by passing by Moses, allowing Moses to see God's back, or perhaps a better translation would be to see where God had been, to sort of see like the trail of him, which was safe for him to do. Same thing, if you remember the burning bush, you know, God said, turn away. Don't look at me directly, for I am so holy, so powerful. So God answered Moses in this time of despair that he needed to know that God was real. Instead of allowing Moses to see him directly, God said, you know, God passed by him and allowed Moses to see his trailing image. Elijah had a similar encounter. While he hid in a cave, God came to Elijah, not in a fire, not in an earthquake or a mighty wind, but in a still, small voice of calm. In today's scripture, the face of the law, Moses, and the face of the prophets, Elijah, the two who have come closest to seeing God, are on Transfiguration Mountain, talking to Jesus, the face of the good news. I want us to take a moment to look closer at the concepts that Moses and Elijah represent. When we think of the law, we often think of things that are restrictive, those thou shalt nots part of the law, that keep us from doing what we want to do. But laws are necessary. They help us relate to one another and to be the people God has called us to be. Anyone who has ever sat through the anarchy of a traffic jam and prayed for the police to show up knows how helpful laws can be. Or whenever we have gone shopping on a post-Thanksgiving Black Friday sales, where people are pushing and shoving for the deal of the day or the deal of the hour, we long for some law and order. Every government in the history of humankind has had some system of law. Without law, there is anarchy. No society has been born and survived without the rule of law. The type of government or economic system is not relevant. Democracy, monarchy, oligarchy, totalitarian, communism, fascism, socialism, capitalism, they all include laws. Even when we're having fun, there are rules or laws. Every game or sport has rules. From the professional down to the board games we play with our family around the table. There are rules involved. We can't even have fun without having laws. It's no different in the kingdom of God. We have rules and regulations and obligations and at least 10 commandments. But like most laws, these laws are in place for our long-term benefit, not as punishment. They show us how to live together and to serve one another. Let's consider the prophets for a moment. In the Old Testament, prophets did not necessarily predict the future. Prophets received special revelations from God for the good of the people, and they were called to share that information. Elijah's predominant message from God was to encourage the people of Israel to return to God and stop worshiping the pagan god. So God told the prophets what to say, to the people of God. Some prophets had distinctive messages, and some had distinctive ministries. Many of the prophets, acting as the mouthpiece for God, called the people to repentance. Some called the people of God to lift up the downtrodden and to ease the burden of the oppressed. And some called upon the people of God to return to the worship of the true God and to rebuild the house of worship. Today, some Christians believe that their God-appointed judge of the rules and regulations concerning those who care to be Christians. They feel they are God's mouthpiece, that they are God's prophets for today. And some churches, as an organization of the Lord, have more rules than we can shake a stick at. Some Christians, claiming to be the mouth of God, go on television and soapboxes to prophesy about the end of the world, the Antichrist, and the true meaning of the book of Revelation. Usually it has something to do with the Old Testament book of Daniel. But in Jesus Christ, that third person of on the mountain of transfiguration, we have a perfect response to the law and the prophets, and that response is called good news, or gospel. Moses is the face of the law, and he is on the mountain with Jesus. So is Elijah, the face of the prophets. They are there with Jesus, who is the face of the gospel, or the good news. So we've met Moses. We've met Elijah. That is, we know the law, and we know that we fail miserably in trying to keep it. We've heard the prophet, and we know that we've been called to holiness. We know that we've failed miserably to live righteously, as we should. Now we need to meet Jesus. He kept the law of God perfectly. And he lived a life of holiness perfectly. And the wonderful part is that God has agreed to accept his perfection on our part. Now we are free from the law and free from religious obligations. This does not mean that we are lawless or have no obligations. Even Jesus said that he did not come to destroy the law. No, because someone has kept the law for us when we could not keep it ourselves. We are able to follow Jesus and serve God motivated by love and thanksgiving. The law and the prophets have been fulfilled in Christ, who calls us to new life in him. We will soon begin our Lenten journey to the cross. Perhaps Jesus' conversation with Moses and Elijah was about that very journey. Luke sort of intimates that. Something else I picked up as Dottie was reading that I hadn't picked up before, but sometimes, you know, when you hear scripture read and you're not reading it yourself, you pick up on different things, and that the disciples were sleeping as this transfiguration was taking place and they woke up. But it reminded me of being in the garden as well. And we need to be careful that we are not sleeping at times when important things are taking place for our faith journey as well. But in this story of the transfiguration, the face of the law and the face of the prophets meet the one who is the face of the good news that offers us forgiveness, that offers us salvation. In Jesus, the law and the prophets come together, and we are set free. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that comes through Christ. We know that we have not done something to earn that, but it's freely given, that Jesus has paid the price for us. He has obeyed the law when we could not and cannot. Forgive us, Lord, when we find ourselves dozing and sleeping when we should be awake and paying attention. Lord, like those disciples, Lord, we wake up. We recognize what's taking place, that took place in their presence is this coming together of Old Testament law and prophets with Jesus, the face of the good news. Lord, we pray that we may be ambassadors of that good news, carrying that message to others, those especially who have not heard it or need to have a refresher course in hearing it again. Lord, there is so much negativity taking place in our society right now. Help us to be messengers of good news, of positive things, of ways Christ is touching our lives and working in our lives and sharing that with others that may need that hope as well. We ask all of this in the name and power of Christ. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, number 327. Fathers, sisters and brothers, teachers, nurses and computer technicians. We are researchers and social workers, pastors, administrators, students and customer service agents. We hold so many different titles and play so many different roles. But in all these things, we represent Jesus to the world that so desperately needs him. Go now with Jesus ever beside you, reflecting his face of love to others. Amen.
Amen.